Forest of construction cranes once again towers over Miami 6 years after the last boom went bust. Unlike construction elsewhere, in the city the new condo boom is being financed mostly by foreign buyers. NPR's Greg Allen reports that it caps a decade of building that's transformed one of America's poorest cities into an international destination.
Few people track Miami development closer than Peter Zalewski. He runs Cranespotters.com, a business that keeps tabs on all the new construction proposed in downtown Miami. In an area that covers less than 4 square miles, there's a lot going on.
Downtown Miami, we're looking at 69 towers, 18,400 units.
Those are all residential condominiums. If history is any guide, all of the projects won't be built. But Zalewski says there are other big projects coming, likely to add to the total.
So I would tell you, if we were to sit down a year from now, we will be well over and above what we did during our last boom, an ultimate bust and an ultimate recovery.
Since it was founded just over a century ago, Miami's history has largely been a series of property booms and busts. Over the span of just a few years, until it ended in 2006, Miami's last building spree added more than 20,000 condo units to a downtown where previously few lived. This new boom is adding more condos, also commercial, retail, and entertainment properties, at a dizzying pace.
This is one of the big projects currently under construction. Brickell City Center is a $1 billion project that will include residential condos, a hotel, plus a shopping and entertainment complex. Several blocks away in Miami, construction is slated to begin soon on another, even larger project. That one is a $2 billion complex, Miami World Center.
Everybody has got their eyes on Miami.
Developer Nitin Motwani refers to the Miami World Center project as the hole in the donut. Right now, it's a 30-acre parcel of parking lots and old buildings in the heart of the city. Motwani is planning a convention hotel, a shopping mall, and more condominiums. Similar construction booms are going on in other cities, Los Angeles, New York, Houston, and Washington, D.C., to name a few. In Miami, though, developers are focused on one particular product, luxury condominiums for foreign buyers. Real estate consultant Peter Zalewski says with its celebrities, nightlife, and jet-set events, Miami has built an international reputation.
This is why we have Russian oligarchs purchasing property. This is why we have Malaysian conglomerates that own casinos and cruise lines coming here and buying. They're all coming here because they seem to think that this is the next Singapore, this is the next London, this is the next great global city.
The annual Art Basel show has also been a factor, an event that every December attracts the ultra-wealthy to Miami Beach. Developers and city officials say they can track foreign investment dollars by watching the news. Sales to Russian buyers slowed after the U.S. imposed sanctions on that country. Economic and political turmoil in Latin America brought investors from that region. And it's not just the super wealthy. Nelly Fernandez lives in Caracas, where she's a real estate broker. Because of Venezuela's crime and political problems, Fernandez has used her savings to buy a modest condo in Miami.
I have many friends in Miami. I have family there. And in this city, I feel like I am like a home, you know?
Developer Nitin Motwani says that's one of Miami's key attractions for international buyers. It's a city where visitors from Latin America, Europe, and even Russia quickly find others who literally speak their language.
So I think what happens when people come here, you get beautiful weather, you get great taxes, you get great restaurants, you get great beaches, and all of that is spectacular. But what no one else can replicate is the diversity of our people.
The decade of residential construction has transformed Miami's downtown. Many of the condos are now rented by young professionals who work and play in the area. City Commissioner Mark Sarnoff says it's dramatically altered the demographics of the urban core.
The average person is 37 years old. That's pretty young. Miami's undergoing a youth movement, and that youth movement is good because it's the creative class moving to the downtown core.
The high-end development downtown can mask, though, another important fact about Miami. Even after all the new construction, it remains one of America's poorest cities. According to the Census Bureau, the Miami area has the nation's second lowest median income, lower than Detroit or Newark. With the wealth pouring in, the divide between rich and poor is getting wider. Particularly vulnerable are residents who live in neighborhoods that border on Miami's downtown. In Overtown, a nearby neighborhood, work crews are renovating the old Josephine and Dunn Hotel. It was one of the few accommodations in segregated Miami open to African Americans in the 30s and 40s. Yvette Harris works with Jackson Soul Food, a restaurant that's a Miami landmark. By next year, Harris says, Jackson will turn the old hotel into a European-style bed and breakfast,
where travelers will be able to come into a community where they're able to do some cultural tours and just learn a little bit about the Overtown area.
The work is being paid for out of a fund generated by fees on downtown development. Also in the works is a $60 million project to build affordable housing. Activist and author Marvin Dunn is concerned about the neighborhood's future as developers began looking for new places to build.
So these properties become very, very valuable. What will happen? The private market will dominate. People will build. Development will proceed to the west. Overtown will be squeezed.
Dunn believes gentrification may push out half of the community's longtime African-American population in coming years. A decade after high-rise condominiums began reshaping Miami's downtown, it's an indication that the city's transformation never stops. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.